American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
This is CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome Professor Richard Epstein, teaches law at NYU and the University of Chicago, a senior fellow at the Hoover Institution, writing for Hoover, defining ideas about the conflict of these last days and years and decades between the Israelis and the Palestinian activists. Gaza is a special case. Gaza is not the West Bank. And these last days, we've seen Gaza launch rockets, hundreds, thousands of rockets at Israel. The predicate for this is said to be a neighborhood in Jerusalem, East Jerusalem, called Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood. Richard is here to help us understand what that dispute is about, a land dispute, and how it is a false representation to say that the Israelis in any way have compromised or challenged the people, the Palestinians who live in the Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood. Richard, a very good evening to you. Sheikh Jarrah, you carefully present the case starting in the 19th century. What is it, where is it, and what is the dispute? Good evening to you, okay. Richard.
Good evening. Well, very nice to be here, John. I did this not because I'm a natural historian, but because I had read an account by Nick Christophe, which sounded so far off the world that I had to figure out what was going on. If you wish to say something false, you can do it in three words. You can say, illegal Israeli land grab. Well, that's four. So then what you want to do is to say, what's the land grab and why is it illegal? So you go back and you try to look at this particular neighborhood of Sheikh Jarrah, and this is what you find. There has been a constant intermingling of Jewish and Arab interests in that area for a very long time, including the 19th century. And there were, of course, many transactions in land in which Arabs would sell property to Israelis. And that, or at that time, Jews, not Israelis. And that is what happened in 1875 with the buildings that are in dispute now. And they were sold, and the titles were recorded in the Ottoman Empire. And it just was another land transaction. Everything gets complicated in the Mideast. And so when you start having the 1948 war and East Jerusalem essentially is taken over by the Jordanians, this property is then claimed by them and the Israelis lose their title. After the war, it gets returned to them and they then lease it out to several Arabs on the understanding that they will continue to pay rent. The rent stopped coming in around 1993. At this point, the Bleak House version of law takes place. The owners go into Israeli courts in order to evict the tenants for the non-payment of rent, which is done everywhere. Even in New York City under rent control, you can do this. This takes a very long time. It finally seems to be coming to a close. And that's when the political dispute comes. And what you do is you treat the case in the public press as though there's land which had been owned outright by Arab interests for year after year after year. Israelis come in, they want to force these things out with a bulldozer in order to put up some Jewish building. And so what you do is you treat this as yet another case of expropriation. And nothing could be further than this. You then ask yourself, if you know what the legal process is, and you know that people have rights on both sides that are on in a reasonably impartial tribunal, you can't treat that as a cause for war, which is exactly what was done in this particular case. And so what you have to remember in all of these circumstances is there will never be any peace in the Middle East so long as Hamas can gin up various kinds of issues and turn them into cause célèbres. And it's a really terrible thing when people at the New York Times start writing stories which make these things seem like the ant of wanton destruction of innocent people, when in fact the reality is much, much more difficult. And let's just say for the sake of argument, the Palestinians were right in this particular rent dispute. So long as you have this thing under adjudication, you can come up with a position which says, well, now that it's being litigated, we're going to bomb you anyhow.
The Sheikh Jarrah is one of the cases that has brought us to this impasse, the ceasefire, the standoff. Mm-hmm. In 2014, there was another issue. There's always another issue. Hamas is not the Palestinian Authority. It is an outlaw organization called terrorist organization within. And yet, Richard, the striking thing, as you present in the Sheikh Jarrah incident, is that the editorialists around the world in all languages are ready to grant moral equivalence to those who have a complaint, a grievance against Israel. In this case, the Sheikh Jarrah is based upon bad history, but it's maintained as an issue that the Israelis won't resolve in any fashion that's fair-minded. That moral equivalence is a constant problem, Richard. I've confronted it over the 20 years of traveling to and from Israel. Is it possible to respond to moral equivalence when you fall into this? Because you throw your hands up and go, these are not equal forces. This is a sovereign state of Israel, and this is an outlaw gang with rockets provided by bad actors.
Well, I mean, the way in which I try to understand international relationships is to go back to private relationships and to see the way in which they are dealt with. And, you know, there is a fundamental principle that, you generally speaking, the use of force against somebody else, their person or their property, is the quintessential wrong against which all organized society has to work with. But it turns out in some cases the use of force is justified in self-defense against the aggression of somebody else, because if you try to wait for a legal resolution, you will be dead, having been taken in by the wrongdoer. So there's always been a long natural law tradition which says that self-defense is legitimate use. And then technically the problems begin after that, because it is sometimes said that force has to be proportionate, force cannot be excessive, and so forth. And so that there are some gray areas that can develop within this particular principle. And that's exactly the kind of analysis that wants to take place here. The basic Israeli position under this is you attacked us first, so we're entitled to use force in self-defense. That right is not absolute, not unlimited. And so then the question is, what can you do? And the usual rule under these circumstances, you try to target the wrongdoers and leave innocent parties, in this case citizens of the Hamas area in Gaza. So what the Israelis do is they take attacks and they find extremely sophisticated explosives which can hit very narrow targets, and they are trying essentially to avoid these collateral damages. And there are two responses that come on the other side that make things only worse. First is what they do is they continue indiscriminate bombing. They don't care whom they hit. The position that Hamas takes is anybody who lives in Israel is a false occupier and therefore a wrongdoer, and therefore we can kill them, which nobody would take in the opposite direction. And then what they do is they bring people and they bring them to these particular sites in an effort to say that the only way you could take out our military target is to take out innocent civilians as well. And one of the great questions, of course, is what do you do when human shields are brought into these situations? In the private law situation, you have to do it as well. And so imagine the situation where somebody's behind a person whom they're holding as a shield, and they're shooting at you, and the only way that you could defend yourself when there's no escape is to shoot the hostage as well. Well, it's certainly not a pleasant deal. You wouldn't want to say, oh, that's the same thing as not shooting anybody at all because it's justified. But then when you try to figure out what the responsibility is, certainly the primary responsibility is going to be with respect to the person who introduced the human shield, not with the person who tried with all possible care to avoid injuring them. And so those are the ways in which these cases go. And the Arabs are extremely clever about this, or at least Hamas, because the moment they force the Israelis to shoot and to cause collateral damages, they can say they're innocent lives on both sides. But if you go back to the underlying dispute, it's clear that there is no innocence and no parallelism between Hamas and the Israelis. Imagine what would happen if the Israelis decided unprovoked to go in and to launch all sorts of missile attacks and bombs on innocent people inside Gaza. The world would be shrieking. But in this particular case, it turns out the Israelis seem to earn an enormous amount of resentment, in part for their large success. And the position in Israel and the world today is on two sides. Its technical prowess is unrivaled pretty much anywhere in the world, and so large Western powers are dependent upon them, and therefore they don't try and put the kibosh. And then there's these large public sentiments that pull in the opposite direction. So what you're doing is you're riding a wave in which there are constant denunciations of the Israelis on the one side, and then silent recognition that you're dependent upon them. They've been reliable trading partners with large numbers of people. So the way the Israelis succeed is they have good commercial arrangements with those advanced companies and lots of developmental assistance with less advanced ones in order to quietly cultivate allies. The interesting thing is that their allies will not speak up on their behalf, and all the Israelis can get out of this, and it's worth a great deal, is non-joining in the mob that's trying to take the Israelis down. American reporters, if they work for the New York Times and they're not named Brett Stephen, are a different story.
Richard Epstein, Professor Richard Epstein, senior fellow at the Hoover Institution, writing at Defining Ideas about the now ceasefire stand down of the conflict again between Hamas, a terrorist outlaw organization, and the sovereign state of Israel. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily, and the best part, guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino, the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Here's the truth. You could literally be adored by everyone and then come home and still get completely ignored by your own cat. It's classic cat behavior. But new Sheba Premium Puree is a lickable treat that changes all that. They're protein-rich, made with bone broth, and have the smooth, creamy texture cats go crazy for, especially when it's hand-fed. Yeah, it's more than a treat. It's a fast pass to favorite human status. So feed your cat Sheba and go from totally ignored to truly adored in just 12 days, guaranteed, or your money back. Learn more at Sheba.com.